It's back.
Number one, straight up, top of the list, no questions asked, Cora Staunton.
OTB's Mount Rushmore.
Look, Casey. Yeah. Are you going to get over Casey?
All this week on Off the Ball Breakfast.
OTB GAA.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. We're just fresh off the back of a pretty decent weekend of football.
Pretty decent weekend.
Yeah. But we the three of us were in Clarny for the weekend as well. We're back on now Monday evening. We aren't sick of the sight of each other yet, but Jesus, that was a bit. That was a good weekend.
Like a stag, yeah, too, wasn't it? Like,
it was a bit. I was supposed to be on a stag this weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
So you pulled the plug?
I was only there the Friday, so we had to be down early on Saturday for our secret recording.
Oh, a bit of work.
That if you were out in Killarney Saturday night, you may have heard who we were chatting to, but we'll let you know later in the week. We may have spilled the beans in the town.
But possibly.
That will be a worldwide exclusive coming your way next Monday on the Football Pod, a special episode. So, yeah, we'll come back to you. But, yeah, I think one thing I was happy with what we did this year was that when we got to the golf course, we kept the alcohol to a minimum. We waited until a little later.
Didn't help us in the end. Didn't help us, but...
It helped me. I was lifting on the golf course.
Yeah, the golf was better, lads. Slight improvement. Baby steps first. Very cold. Did that.
Got to
the nugget, which was a key, obviously. We spoke a lot about the golden nuggets. We got in there, watched the
Dublin game.
Yeah, very nice and a very good match to watch from a Dublin perspective. That was nice. And then we visited every single pub in the town of Clare. Which was progressively worse and worse as the night went on and on. But I was good old crack. Great town. Little bit shook yesterday doing the match, Tommy, weren't we? Doing the Kerry Tyrone game at Fitzgerald Stadium.
Yeah.
But a good win.
We may have been.
Kerry are back on the road. Yeah.
I was sure we were all home and in bed by midnight until, you know, you look at your card the next morning. Yeah, I was tapping the card still at 1:30.
Yeah, I don't think that was true. But anyway.
And then I got a text.
Was that
from
the company credit card or the personal debit card?
No, there's no company credit card.
Official GA correspondent. You'll be sacked, T, after that. When you've had those expenses, you're gone.
Secret credit
card. Finished.
I did enjoy the text I got then today. James O'Donoghue spotted sprinting down the road at 1:30. James, that is an iconic exit strategy. You actually do run home, don't you, after a night out?
I do.
Muckers Road, like.
From town. Down Muckers Road is just a straight road. And when you start it, it's like it's never going to end. So I always just boot it. Just put the head down and go for it.
So like it's not a fast walk. It's a sprint.
Oh no, it's a full on limp at home. Like.
It's about 2K back there, Jimmy.
I probably have to stop. Or I stop maybe twice, all right. And then just re-breath and just go again.
Yeah.
That's a big fan of that. And as well, taxis. Like, it's a sin to be handing over €12 for a taxi there for literally...
That's impressive, Jimmy, considering. Yeah, you had a good shift in a few hours before that, but.
I know, I was doing well to actually successfully sprint home without tripping over or something.
Oh, God.
Myself and Paddy were obviously in Fitzgerald Stadium for 12 o'clock on Sunday.
Peep out of you, Jimmy. Not a peep out of you.
I like to watch the games under the radar.
Where did you watch the game?
Under the blanket.
I stayed home. I just didn't feel like I was in the right frame of mind to attend the game. It's very cool.
It was a lovely day, though.
I should have gone. I regretted not going. But
you know what? It wasn't a great game, was it? It wasn't a great game, though, was it? Kerry were comfortable.
I think it seemed better on TV than what it did live, just by hearing the reports of everyone that was at the game. Like I thought it looked like a decent game at...
Maybe we weren't in the right frame of mind now, but no, a successful weekend down to Killarney. Our secret interview, I would imagine, will be pretty good whenever that comes out as well. So, good couple of days, yeah. Tough Monday, though. I am not on a tough drive home back to Dublin. Jesus, lads, that is not easy. A 4-hour spin yesterday evening.
That's a shocker. Did you go Limerick or Cork?
Cork, I think, actually.
Did you?
I just put it in Google Maps and that's the way it brought me. Yeah, like there's no shortcuts there. Yes, it was tough going. We were chatting to Joe Malloy, obviously, at the match, Tommy. He was just after coming off the flight from Dublin, and schoolboy error not getting the 25-minute flight home. Like,
I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. Lessons learned. Lessons learned. Anyway, but good weekend all around.
On a weekend like that, knowing your luck, what would happen was the flight would be delayed, or you'd be stuck in the airport for half a day and to get a taxi back in town to get a train or something. You're better off near just getting into the car and going.
You're on the road. You
know, yeah.
By the time you're fluting around.
Yeah. Anyways, Clarny, great town.
It is a great town, isn't it? It's just
it is a great town. No,
to confirm,
it is,
a great town.
It is just a great spot.
Yeah, good weekend and a big weekend of football as well. A lot of very important, significant results. We had a statement win for Dublin up in Celtic Park, 116-111 win against Derry. We'll come back to that in a few minutes. I have a recording from the Golden Nugget that I can bring you. And then we had Mayo 15 points, Roscommon 9 points later on that evening. No recordings from Jimmy's where we watched that game, but we'll leave that there. And then Kerry 18 points, Tyrone 111, as we mentioned. We'll be going through that game in a few minutes with myself and Paddy. We're at that game for Sheriff Stadium. And then the big one really in Division 1, Monaghan 14 points, Galway 312. It looks like Monaghan Tyrone is going to be a relegation shootout now in 2 weeks' time. Rory Cunningham on his full debut for Galway scored 1-3, a very tasty 3 points and a good goal as well. Conor McManus and Conor McCarthy return from Monaghan, but they're going to have to pull out another two big wins. You wouldn't bet against them. They've got they've got Tyrone next.
They've got Mayo in the last round. They have previous, but we kind of expected that. We're going to tip with Tyrone and Monaghan be the two teams to go down. It's obviously a little bit tighter. Galway getting that win probably, you would imagine, keeps them safe. But Monaghan, like, they're conceding big scores as well. I know McManus and McCarthy coming back will make a massive difference. Obviously, Rory Beggins over at the Combine this weekend. Like I said, of all the teams, we mentioned it with Davey Burke and Roscommon a couple of weeks ago. Teams like that can't really afford to lose frontliners. The depth of quality, there's just a drop-off to the next players in. I think Monaghan have struggled with that. But look, they've been in this situation. Vinnie Corrie, those players, they'll know the ropes, but they need two big, big performances if they're going to pull off this escape again. But I think they're up against it.
Yeah, the goals all kind of came from defensive errors as well. And maybe that's what happens when you have that bit of an experience back there. Yeah. You mentioned Began. Such a loss. It's hard to know how the lads are getting on in the combine. Like, they all took their kicks last night. Apparently, they performed really well in comparison to the...
Look good, yeah.
How many college kicks kickers did they have? Was it up to
16.
16 each?
I think. Yeah. I think they're all around 11 or 10 out of 16.
Oh, really? And were they all dead? Yeah. They're all in the middle, aren't they? They're all... There's no angles.
Yeah, but the distances are coming, back out the field, out to about 60 yards. I'm pretty sure Charlie Smith from down nailed a very long one. Began nailed a long one too. And Jackson, I think Jackson nailed a couple of long ones as well. So best of luck to the lads beyond. But from Monaghan to pull this off again, the great escape one more time, that Tyrone game in 2 weeks' time is going to be massive. And I suppose what we're seeing with Tyrone as well, Paddy, like, some of the younger lads are starting to impress. Kieran Daly scored 1-3 yesterday.
Yeah.
Ben Cullen scored a good point. Niall Devlin took a couple of shots but performed quite well as well. But this kind of step up to actually having a proper impact at intercounty level, they're probably still a little shy of that yet.
Yeah, and it was an inconsistent performance by Tyrone again. And we said this, that they've been very Jekyll and Hyde throughout the league. Not just the league, I think over the last 18 months or so. They get a brilliant... Their win against Mayo, kind of poor in the first half, but a brilliant second half performance. He spoke about it at length last week, McCurry and Canavan's impact. And it's a big question mark. Could they, like, Kerry away is a very tough league game. But what were we going to see from them? And Tyrone actually started the match really well. And the first quarter, you're thinking, okay, they've got a chance here. Obviously, Kerry are coming back off one of their worst performances in a long, long time with the defeat to Dublin the week before. But I just think, after that first quarter, Kerry just took control of the game. And I think the most pleasing thing from Kerry's side was that middle third. That was a massive, massive area where they struggled against Dublin the week before. I think they were a lot, lot better around that yesterday in Fitzgerald Stadium. And just that little bit more clinical. Like, Tyrone, like, if a Tyrone are to do anything, they need McCurdy and Derek Canavan at the forefront of absolutely everything they do. And we just saw tiny glimpses of it yesterday. A couple of nice scores from each of them, but they were on the edge of the game. Derek Canavan comes off towards the end of the game for Colin McShane. I think the race was run at that point anyway. But Kerry, without having to do a whole pile, just a little bit more cohesion up front. You know, Paddy Clifford, Shawnee Shea, they get three each from play. David Clifford, kind of, he's 100% from his shots, but it wasn't outstanding from Clifford. We know the levels he can get to. But even Kerry, kind of in third gear, just had way, way too much. And look, Daly's goal for Tyrone coming down the last 10 minutes, so that does put a bit of a gloss on it. I thought it was far more comfortable for the guts of 55 minutes of that match for Kerry. So for Tyrone, yeah, okay, they've got a couple of younger players. We know they've got superstar forwards, but they're, again, it's just if you're Brian Duhar looking and going, it's a tough game, obviously, but it's another inconsistent performance where they never really, outside that first quarter, they just, Kerry had complete control, completely dominant, and had thrown at arm's length, and a little bit wasteful up front. I think that's one of the key areas, that's one of the standout things. Some bad shots, some poor shot selection, poor shot execution. I think that's something they'll definitely have to focus on for the game against Monaghan. But did we learn anything new from Tyrone or Kerry? Not really. You know, Jack could be happy that Kerry got a bounce back, but Tyrone, yeah, it's kind of a story of where they're at, those inconsistent performances.
Yeah, Tyrone had 10 wides, hit the post, dropped two shots short. James, they were, like, even when they were on top, James, they were quite wasteful.
They were, but I think it was always going to be a really tough game for Tyrone. If you looked at where they were both coming from, Kerry were embarrassed for the week. Do you know, like, they, all the interviews after the game, all the word coming out of the camp was a case of, we had soul searching to do. We had to get together and decide that this wasn't good enough. Do you know, I could just tell that Kerry got their act together over the week. And to be coming down into Clarny then all the way from Tyrone for that game was going to be difficult for them, because Kerry were in that kind of do-or-die mentality. And I thought Kerry played well. They had some great scores up front. The only concern would be that, I suppose, that the spreading of the scores. Do you know, like, I always find that Dublin are the benchmark, because Dublin are so good this year. I can't believe how good Dublin are so quickly this year. They're never usually this good this early. But if one or two of them are off up front, they'll get scores from... They'll find a way from anywhere to get their 18, their 19, their 20. That, I think that's just maybe the next step for Kerry is to be, if one of the...
So what, you're kind of worried that the 15,
I thought it wasn't, 15 I thought it the wasn't bad the other day. Outside the three lads, obviously. You're talking about the other three forwards outside of...
Well, just from the team in general. I think that it's come to stage now where we're with defensive systems. I think that you have to almost think worst case scenario and think that David or Paddy or Shawnee will misfire, and you have to have that backup around the field. Yeah. I think that Dublin definitely have it. I don't think the other teams do at the moment, but I think it can come for Kerry. But what was interesting as well from Kerry, I was thinking, what will they change? What would they decide? Right, we're gonna make this change after Dublin game, because it can't just be more bravado and work harder and all that nonsense. You know, there had to be something. And I think that they went very defensive. I noticed that they put a lot of bodies behind the ball for long stages, which isn't usually Jack's style. But I think that they said, we're under pressure here at the back. We're going to nail that down first and see how we get on after that. And like, it did work, because they had completely.
They were more solid. It was around that middle third, where it was really an issue against Dublin, that like Tadhg Morley had a really influential game. He was obviously at all stages, and Tyrone kind of played in Kerry's hands, because Tyrone were bringing a lot of bodies back themselves. It allowed Morley, and this is the thing, if teams drop off Kerry, it allows Morley to sit in and play in front of that full back line and play in front of Derek Callum or Darren McCurry. But I think Dermot O'Connor and Joe O'Connor at midfield did really well after, you know, again, a tough day at the office against Fenton the week before. Like, so just all over that middle third, I thought that was the most impressive thing from Kerry, because it was the most obvious place for improvement after a Dublin match. And look, it's a very different challenge playing Dublin and Croke Park to playing that Tyrone team. But you look at Kennedy and Kilpatrick, I'd be big fans of theirs as a midfield partnership. But I thought Kerry, you're right, they were just far more solid. They were better on kickouts as well. Than they were the weekend before. So look, I think Jack could be relatively happy with that. I mean, that's all he can ask for. A 4-point win, really, Tommy. Like, we were there, the whole stadium was pretty dead atmosphere the second half. It was more than that. You know, it was a really, really comfortable. And for Kerry, I think with Derry beating the night before, Kerry are still in the mix to potentially make a league final here as well. Now, whether they're overly interested in that or not, I don't know. Like, but in terms of a bounce back after a really, like you say, an embarrassing performance the week before, I think they ticked a lot of those boxes.
Mm. Do you know what was interesting as well from a defensive point of view from Kerry was Jack put Paul Murphy on Canavan, which I thought was very interesting.
Surprising,
not vote of confidence, but it was a big job, to give back to Paul, because he's kind of been in and out. So that, like, to show that trust in him again, to take on that big one in cornerback. I mean, there's no doubt that Paul is a brilliant marker, but probably his – his number one position is probably in half back line. But to go in and mark Tommy, as you haven't done, as the top forward in the country at the moment, I thought that was a big sign of the role that Paul can play for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that was a bit of a dig, wasn't it?
No,
I thought there was a little grin there. Like.
Well, he did have it on TikTok about 500 times and all over Instagram. And
was on, well, then, if it's on TikTok, it's legit.
I think it was on Bebo as well at one stage.
MySpace.
Yeah.
There's no dig.
Bit of a debate about that one. Yeah, well, I had Darragh Canavan down as the most informed inside forward at the moment.
Yeah, no, I'd agree.
McGuigan number two. You'd be quite close. I think I gave Canavan the nudge because of that Sigurdsson final. And then I had... Who was third? Con 2, McGuigan 3, and then Clifford 4, Paddy Lynch 5, Sean O'Connor from Tipperary 6, the two top scorers in the country. Just on that Kerry defensive setup, because one of the big things that we would have spoken about and what we were hoping to see was, I suppose, the interplay between McCurry and Canavan. But
yeah,
Tyrone felt like there was nearly individual moments they had. Like Canavan kicked a couple of lovely points from play. Rory had a lovely point from play. The two lads combined for a nice score. McCurry had a couple of nice scores early on, but there was no real, didn't really feel like much of a connection up there. Was that because of Kerry's setup?
I think so. I think Kerry were very aware of that as well. I think that the bodies around just didn't allow them to have that. But I think that Kerry looked sharp up front. There was a lot more giving goes and running off the ball in Kerry's attack than Tyrone's. You know, it was a big difference for Tyrone between this week and last week, I thought, in terms of their movement up front. In the second half of the game last week, I thought their movement was spot on, but I think Kerry looked sharper in attack this week, where they kind of supported each other a bit better, whereas the Tyrone fellas were kind of
there was better cohesion there. And we said this is the big challenge for Tyrone. We talked about last year's All-Ireland quarterfinal against Kerry as well. There's no doubt the individual quality of those Tyrone forwards, but for them to move into the top echelon and be really competing to win the Ulster Championship, to be contenders for the All-Ireland, they need that cohesion up front. You know, they need a system where no matter what the opposition is doing, you're still getting the ball to Darragh Canavan and McCurry in really good positions. And like you said, it, there were some beautiful scores from them, but it was just, they were on the edge of the game all the time. If you're Brian Dewey, you've got to be looking there going, how do we double their possessions? And everyone around the team needs to be on the same page there going, we have two incredible inside forwards, as good as you're going to get out there in terms of a double act. We need to use them. They need to be at the absolute cornerstone of everything we do. And we just didn't see that yesterday. And yeah, credit to Tyrone, or credit to Kerry, because they were probably a little bit slicker in how they got their defensive shape back in. I think Tyrone's second half performance particularly, like they're talking about huff and puff and just a lack of quality there, it was really, really poor. That's why I don't have... Tyrone, yeah, if everything goes right for Tyrone, I was actually talking to a couple of supporters walking out back into the town after the match. It's kind of, is there an acceptance that they're in a bit of a transition that we need to bring through some of these younger guys? There's obviously been a lot of turnover in the squad. But I said it last week, if Tyrone get everything right and have a day of days, they are dangerous against any team. Because they have that quality that like say, a lot of other top teams or so-called top teams don't have. That little bit of stardust, but we don't see it enough from them. And you're just wondering, when are we going to see that cohesion where you can say McCurry and Canavan are going to get 20 possessions each inside the 21? If that happens, there's a team that can get to 20 points or 120, and they're going to be mixed to win any game, but we just don't see it enough.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing that's different with Tyrone, is that you could see them being average, but you're still thinking...
They're dangerous.
There's a big day. Do you know there's a big semi-final in them, or a big quarter-final, and then they'll end up in a final. Do you know, they just have that quality with McCurry, the two Canavans, even McShane getting game time again.
Yeah, good scene, Bailey.
He might not be at the same level as he was yet, because he's coming back, but he still takes marking. You're still thinking, who are we going to put on him? And it frees up space and time for other forwards. Yeah. So I think there's a result in Tyrone all the time.
I agree, and I was speaking to their selector and coach, Collie Holmes, former midfielder for Tyrone. He's principal at Dungannon, St. Pat's in Dungannon. He would have been involved on the rage with Tyrone over the last couple of years working with them. I think they're quite happy if they stay safe and they just get cooking and get minutes into these younger lads before Ulster. I think that'll be a big thing for them. Last one on this game. Kerry were a bit dead There hadn't been no real reaction until that scuffle under the stands in 15 minutes. James, I'd say myself and Paddy's view was a little skewed because of where we were. We were on the other side of it. You might have got a good view from your couch at home.
I did. I watched it a few times. I think there wasn't much in it, but that's not a lot.
Do you think it was smart?
The fact that
it was right getting this fans involved.
Yeah. I don't think it was planned, but I think it definitely did have a little bit of an impact because the crowd are only delighted to be getting involved. Do you know, they want something to be cheering about or to be given out about. They want to be involved in the game. So I think that little scuffle did get them more involved and gave Kerry a bit of a kick. But I saw a few things online that Kerry did it on purpose or Clifford did it on purpose to try and rile up the troops and all that stuff. I don't think so. I think that he was probably just riled up and it just spilled over a little bit there and the crowd got involved and I think it definitely played into Kerry's
hand. Yeah, at that point, to that stage of the game, Tyrone, like I say, had started reasonably well. They probably weren't as clinical, but it was a good first quarter from them. And yeah, really from that point, whether that was the catalyst or not, Kerry just took control of the game. So maybe. But like I said, the atmosphere was kind of dead, Tommy, wasn't it, for the whole game? It was just, like I said, there was a lot of huff and puff from both teams. And then once Kerry got their noses in front, the result was never really in danger. So was that scuffle the catalyst for it? Look, I don't know, but it was there's no harm in
it. It had an impact, but yeah.
I think it did have a bit of an impact just to get fellas, you know, just get the heartbeat.
They're kicking the hole.
The temperature up.
Exactly. You mentioned McShane being back, McGeary come off the bench. Matty Donnelly was originally named on the bench, number 20, after that injury last year, but he was a late withdrawal. So hopefully we'll see Matty Donnelly back on the field for Tyrone at some stage soon. And as I mentioned, Tyrone Monaghan, Oma, Saturday week is going to be a cracking game. So as I mentioned, Tyrone have Monaghan and then Monaghan play Mayo in the last game. Tyrone are away to Dublin and Croker on the last day. And the Rossies, who you could also say are well deep into this relegation battle, they play Kerry Sunday week. I think I'll be at that game in the Hyde. And then their final game is against Derry away. So Roscommon.
Tough for the Rossies, the last
trouble.
Two.
Roscommon are in trouble. And if Tyrone get a result against Monaghan, they'll be safe.
The winners of that.
I would expect it more from the Rossies against Mayo on Saturday night. You know, they obviously have a good record against them coming off the back of a really, really positive performance against Monaghan. And they just never really, again, a very similar game. Mayo just kind of comfortable arm's length.
Yeah.
Obviously, after the Connacht Championship game last year where Roscommon did a real number on Mayo, I would have expected, you know, can they kick on? As Davey Burke's kind of, wouldn't say a rat, but, you know, he gave it to Roscommon after their defeat to Dublin and Croke Park. He got a big reaction against Monaghan the following week in the Hyde. They were clinical, really, really comfortable victory. And I just didn't see that from them on Saturday night against Mayo. Like I say, Mayo, it puts them, like it's touch and go between who's going to actually get into the league final and who's going to go down. There's a number of teams in both positions, but I thought it was just a comfortable Mayo victory, very similar to what we've seen on Sunday, that they were never really a danger losing that game, what we've seen from Kerry against Tyrone.
I think Derry will get to the league final. Derry Dublin is a great game for Derry. I think that Derry need to play Dublin again.
In Croke Park as well.
Yeah, I think Derry need that game.
Division 2 was, they played in the group stages and then they had the league final in Croke Park again and Dublin won convincingly in the league final. So, yeah, I agree.
Derry need to figure something out about Dublin. They haven't figured Dublin yet. They've kind of figured everyone out, but they haven't figured Dublin out yet. I think the Dublin just know how to kind of play cute, keep the ball, pick off scores nice and easily.
Dublin can quite nearly play them at their own game, like, which is...
Yeah. But every time you play a team, Mickey Hart's interview was interesting. He was like, look, we'll take something out of this, we'll learn from it, we'll go on.
It's all you can say, really. Yeah, you know?
It's probably all you can say, but I think it is really the case with Derry because they're still new to the top two or three. Do you know, like, this is their year probably to do it, but one more game against Dublin and Croke Park, I think, will suit them.
I think Derry will be very happy with that at the weekend, lads. A packed Celtic Park. They don't start Lynch and Golds. Their whole half-back line is completely new. Eunan Mulholland in his second game. Donica Gilmore, who's only a kid. Shea Downey starting wing-back. Usually Doherty and McGrogan have played every minute up to date. So two key players to their
huge
system.
Players, yeah.
No Conor Glass. Emma Bradley was back in the field. And then we saw Cormac Murphy and Lachlan Murray starting in the corner. So I think Derry will be happy enough with what they got out of that game.
Tommy, Dublin are missing Mannion, Pascal, Cluxton, McCarthy. You know, I don't know if Derry are too happy with that. Like,
I don't think that's a slight on Dublin saying that Derry would be happy enough with that. If McGuigan lobbed O'Hanlon, No?
I don't agree with that.
You think it's another hammering? You think it's another 5-point hammering?
I thought Dublin were really comfortable, yeah. I think it was an eye-opener for Derry. I'm kind of leaning towards more what Jimmy's saying, that Derry have been the absolute form team in the league. They have been the best team up to date. But Dublin motoring at their best seemed to be a level above what Derry were doing. And then, yeah, I know that they're missing. All teams at this stage of the season are missing key players. But I think Derry would be disappointed. I think they would have been targeted to win that game at home. Mm. Definitely. You know,
his team selection was strange then, Paddy, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, you're not going to risk players if there's any sort of knocks or niggles. But if you just talk about, we spoke about Derry a lot. Derry's got a lot of coverage over the first part of the league because they've been the standout team. And you're talking about what Mickey Hart wants to come in and hit boxes. It's like McKenna Cup, steamroll everyone in Ulster. We're the top dogs. The first game against Kerry, the team he puts out, go and beat Kerry. Go and beat Dublin. If you're in Derry's situation, you're going, who's above us at the start of the season? You go, Kerry and Dublin. So target those games. They did that job against Kerry and Tralee. Probably scraped through it in the end, but they got the win. They've been dominant 4-4. They look like they're right on course for league final. And then Dublin are coming to Celtic Park. I think they would have wanted a bit of a better performance. Dublin were comfortable in that game. I agree with James. I was surprised at how good Dublin were, but they strike me. Really, from the Roscommon game, I thought they were even good against Mayo and Castlebar, and they didn't get the result. But
yeah,
they strike me that they're in. There's a confidence about Dublin again, which you hadn't really seen, and maybe that comes when the All Ireland back last year. But there does just seem to be Dublin going up there with an edge. Going, yeah, there's a lot of talk about Derry, but we're going to do a number here. They just look like that, and not just the main players are important. Obviously, Kilkenny's in. Brilliant, brilliant form. Can't even has a quiet
really
game.
Is, isn't he?
Kilkenny and Fenton. You're thinking
Kilkenny is operating at a. He looks quicker, sharper, or something. John, you know, last
he has
year
an edge, he was a tiny bit laboured.
Yeah,
he looks angry.
He looks like he's doing everything half a second quicker.
Yeah, there's
he
no
just,
harm
he
with
just
that.
Looks, you know, he if looks
you're,
so
if you're
good.
Dropped essentially, which he was. I know he comes back in the All Ireland final. He's such an amazing player over the last decade for Dublin. Yeah, you'd be like. A bit of a chip on your shoulder, which is brilliant. That's what, if you're a coach, if you're Desi Farrell, that's what you want. But you take if Dublin's key players play at that level, we've seen it with Fenton the week before against Kerry, and again on Saturday night. Would have been great to see Fenton and Glass. Obviously, we didn't get it. We might see that if there's a league final in a couple of weeks' time. But if those guys are operating at their peak, Fenton, Kilkenny, Khan, who had a quieter game than he's had the last couple of weeks, like Dublin just looked very, very... very, very comfortable in what they're doing. But the key thing with them, the so-called, maybe the newer players, they look like they're confident. They look like they kind of believe, okay, we're at this level now as well. Keane Murphy, Ross McGarry again, chipping in with points in every game. Bogler, obviously, I think a massive season for Dublin. There just seems to be, our key guys are moving really well, but there's a confidence in the whole group. Which is good to see. The only kind of caveat, Lee Gannon, who's an important player, for looked like they get a bad knock on the hamstring.
Great too.
To see. It looked bad, didn't it? You know, just you're kind of conscious of that. Will we see him in a couple of weeks' time? We don't know. But I think Derry will be a little bit, maybe the caveat, they're missing a couple of their frontliners, but so are Dublin. They'd be disappointed not to put up a better show at home. But for Dublin and for Desi Farrell, there's a confidence in them. You can just see it. The aura around them when they're playing now, like they went up and did an absolute number on what we were all rightly saying, Derry were the fourth team in the country.
The only not downside at all by any means, but for Dublin, McGuigan was outstanding. They didn't get a handle on him 100% at any stage of the game, really. And he kicks some lovely points. He's just he's such a good player.
It's a beautiful strike, isn't he?
Beautiful strike.
Language style.
Off balance. That's exactly. It never looks off balance. Never looks like he's rushing. Everything is thought about and nice and accurate. And he's going to have a great year this year. There's not a huge amount of full backline players, you know, that can mark him. Himself and Clifford, their size, their stature.
He doesn't need a lot of space, Jimmy, does he?
No, he doesn't. He gets a shot off very quick.
But you know
can
what?
Can I put you in that position, James? just for a second. You're talking about the languid style, the curl shot. I can see a bit of that left foot that you would have used at times as well. Ball in your hands, keeper scrambling back to goals, 40 yards out at the angle he was at. Surely yeah. that's an outside of the left boot one.
I'm not a fan of an outside of the left or outside the right. Now, why? If you're... I think he went about it the right way. I think he just
wasn't a bad effort, like, yeah, just
caught it wrong.
Foot and it was in, you know.
He caught it wrong. But an outside
great save. Great save, Bo Hanlon, to be fair to him, to get back.
Yeah. I don't know, an outside the left early on in the game, fair enough, when you're nice and fresh and you're cocky and you're confident. But like last minute of the game there, it was very late in the game, heavy leg outside of the boot. I think he did the right thing. I think he just undercooked it, just caught it a little bit wrong.
It's funny because
it would
the
have been
game.
A better looking score with no side of the left. Cross-barrel down.
Just a point on McGuigan. Like, if you look at the way Derry attack, every single player on that team is looking to get him on the Athletics. And he gets a lot of scores on the loop. That's not by accident. And the loop, it's very hard to defend. Like, Merchant was on the other night. And he's kind of close enough to him, but if the ball is being handed to you on the loop, it's very difficult to stop that when you're as accurate as McGuigan is. If you're from Tyrone's perspective, you're looking at that's what Tyrone need to operate like. We kind of, every single person on that team in Derry knows exactly where they want to get the ball to and who they want to get it to, and that's just okay. Maybe they're further down the road than that Tyrone team, but it's just a better cohesion with them. I agree.
Is there an all-earned in that though? Do you know?
I don't think you need
the scores from everywhere. You need everyone to be wanting to score and have a threat.
Yeah,
half forward line. I even go further back. You know,
McCluskey gets up for a goal. Ethan Doherty in the wing. Paul Casty's go for a couple of scores as well. It's the younger guys. You know, can they step up? And look, you have to remember before Saturday night, Derry and 4-4. You know, they have been going very well. I think Saturday, as Mickey Harder said, is maybe not the phrase a wake-up call, but it's an eye-opener for them going, okay, we're ticking a lot of boxes, but do we have a performance of that level? Because if they are going to win it, they're going to have to take out Dublin and Kerry.
I think they do. I still wouldn't knock them anywhere lower than what I had them before the game. But I think they need to just figure Dublin out a bit better. Do you know, I think they have all the raw materials there, but letting Dublin control the game the way they do, they have to figure out a way to stop that.
Dublin were playing Derry at their own game, and Dublin are very good at playing. Dublin can play both ways. Like, they can play against Kerry and go long, and let's hit Conor O'Callaghan with every single ball we can. But going up to play Derry, who nearly that basketball style, you have to remember, we did that with Dublin for 4 or 5 years. You know, they're as comfortable playing that way. And that's the beauty of, yeah, okay, what is the challenge going to be presented by this opposition? And they have the tools to deal with it. And I think that's what we've seen on Saturday night. That, like I say, yeah, maybe a league final in a couple of weeks' time would be a really good thing to see again in Croke Park if it was Dublin and Derry. We don't know, there's obviously still 2 rounds left, but Dublin have definitely given themselves a chance now after a slow start, so that's all you can ask for.
Sure. Yeah, so it's Derry 8 points, Dublin 6, Mayo 6, Kerry 6, Galway are on 5 points. You could argue they're safe, but they've two tough
games.
They play the Dubs next. Yeah, Dublin at home, Kerry away in the last two games. So that's Division 1 and how it's looking. And we'll be talking more about those games next week. Division 2, again, a couple of very important games. Fermanagh at Armagh was postponed on Saturday, moved to Sunday. Armagh kept them at arm's length the whole game. They won by 4 points, 15-11. Fermanagh haven't picked up a point since the opening two games of the league. So they're going to have to turn it around at some stage if they're going to survive in Division 2. Loud beaten by 5. Oisin Gallen scored 4 from play. Paddy McBurty kicked 8 points, 7 frees. And Jack McKelvey got the goal for Donegal, a 117-15 points win. Cavan and Meade drew on Saturday night. I was celebrating that result as it came up on the app. Sean Brennan, the goalkeeper, man of the match for Meade. There was a lot of turnovers in this game. I watched it this morning. There was loads of heart. I think Meade will be delighted though. After the game, Conor O'Rourke said, once more, now is the time for drinking. We'll taste the delicacies of some Mead taverns on the way home. I think the lads deserve a good night out.
Good man, Rorke.
Yes. Good job. Yeah.
I love that. I love hearing that.
Why not?
The boys must be buzzing inside the dressing room like hearing
that. I hope they ended up in the barracks in Mead Hill because they get a fine point in there.
They those nights out are so important for the team as well. Like, you know, they're just, you know, we did something.
But that happened
good,
randomly, like, get your middle of the league campaign.
Yeah,
well, there's the gap good, now.
Get your
there's
reward. There's 2 week gap now. Back at it again. Yeah.
But for me, like, the Beakle there and to get a result in Cavan as well, that's two solid weekends in a row for that Mead team. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have had them getting netting up in Breffy Park, but be fair to them, that's if you're Colin Murray, you can kind of see why they can feel a little bit more confident about themselves after the last couple.
Cavan actually only took the lead for the first time in that game with less than 10 minutes to play. So Mead butchered a couple of goal chances as well. They've only scored one goal in the league. They're the lowest goal scorers in the league after Kildare at the weekend buried three goals against Cork, but again, it wasn't enough. Huge win for Cork, you could say, in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, 2-15-3-9 against Kildare. They responded to two very early Kildare goals, got a great start. I'm not sure if you saw the influence of Daniel Flynn early doors.
He hasn't lost any pace anyway. My God, he was rapid.
He's only back. He's so mad. He wasn't great against Mead. Yeah. He switched it on, though, early doors.
He did.
He has that. He has it in the locker, but tough loss for Kildare, though. You know, that was the big game. Like I say, it's two teams who were low enough on confidence, and for Cork just to nick it. High scoring, which was, I suppose, would have been an interesting game for a spectator, but gives Cork that little bit of breathing space with those two victories on the spin. But for Kildare, like, we spoke a lot about them. It's been a tough season so far for them. And yeah, it's hard to see where they're going to go from here.
Cork and Armagh left and
Mead. Mead in the next game.
Mead, yes. Okay.
Yeah, so it's
is that Mead,
Cork, Parktalton. Yeah.
Okay.
Parktalton.
It's a big game for Mead.
That's a big game for Cork. That's a big game for Cork.
For both teams.
Away and get both teams. Yeah.
Big game for both teams. Absolutely. And I think, James, I know you would have had a close eye on your Cork side. Chris O'Jones kicked 3 points.
Barry
O'Driscoll kicked 3 points from the half forward line. They got 1-2 from their backs. Brian Hurley kicked 2 points. Connor Corbett buried a brilliant goal off the back of Colm O'Callaghan. Spectacular.
Oh, what a fetch.
Odell Beckham, like.
It's magic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because he didn't know what was going to happen to him after he got it. He just put all faith in the catch.
Yeah.
Someone comes in behind you there, it's game over.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I kind of need a few boys like that, though, who just throw their body at it. Like, obviously, you think of McCauley getting his paw, his fingers in that ball in 13, don't you?
I never think of that.
No.
But yeah, no, it was a spectacular catch.
Yeah,
that's the reason.
You need those fellas. And they're undervalued. Well. They're underrated because if you don't win those primary balls, the fellas who get all the praise, the McGuigans, the Cans, all these fellas, they don't get the possession. So they're just watching the game. You need those fellas chipping in with the big plays.
I thought there was a couple of phenomenal catches this weekend. Brian Kennedy had a spectacular one for Tyrone. Keane McBride for Mead. Just long kickouts, huge catches in the middle of the field.
Beautiful skill of the game, yeah.
I'm a big fan of it.
Most impressive skill nearly, isn't it? A high...
It's the old football review committee will be trying to bring that baby in. How do we get it?
Well, it's there
did
now.
Did you hear Fitzmaurice?
Fitzmaurice's going to say, we just make sure we don't get anything wrong. Like.
Fill us in, James.
Huh?
Fill us in. What did he say?
He ran league Sunday last night.
Mm. He kind of mentioned a couple of things that we were mentioning just about the three inside the 45 and how that would work or if it would work.
Like by proxy, like that, football pod is involved there. Like the lads are listening.
Did he mention
about banning the fisted point because there was a lot of them this weekend? You weren't happy in the
there was quite a few of them, actually. Yeah, there was.
There was like two fingers of James O'Donoghue.
There was just one or two too many. It was like, oh, no, again. It's just, that's fine, but it's just like, It's not an exciting score. You know, for fellas to kick points from those angles, you really appreciate their skill levels. You're like, whoa, that was a great score at that angle or at that from that close range, or even if they went for a goal. But to fist it over the bar, I think it's something we could ditch.
Yeah, okay. Just the Division 2 table to give you an idea. Two games left. Cavan are on 7 points. They have Armagh next and Fermanagh in their final game. That's a huge game in the Athletic Grounds, Armagh Cavan, and they could spoil the party there a little bit. Kildare are up against it, 0 points, bottom of the table. They play Donegal, who are second at the minute to Armagh. That is 5 o'clock in Dr. Cullen Park next Saturday. Mead and Cork has been moved to Saturday as well. That's going to be a very
Saturday
game, I'd imagine. Yeah, Saturday week, sorry. Two even teams should be a good game. And then Louth Fermanagh, the winners of that game will put themselves in a good position going into the last round. Louth play Kildare in the final round. Fermanagh play Cavan in the final round. Louth are on 2 points. Fermanagh are on three.
A relegation battle, that one now, yeah.
That's a big one on Sunday week, I believe, in RD.
And Louth have been unlucky in a couple of games. You know that they possibly could have nicked a couple of more victories and put themselves in a really safe position. But that's a big 100%. Game for them now for Jerry Brennan, obviously, going in there and that role. That's a big game at home. They need to pick up 2 points. That will give. If they win that, I think that's the buffer that'll keep them safe. If they don't, they're right up against it to possibly join Kildare.
For sure. Down, highest scores in the country. You're actually starting to see a lot of Ciara Mina's influence on the setup as well. There was a couple of clips doing the rounds at the weekend in their attacking shape, and it's very similar to Derry last year. So they put 217 up against Sligo, who were going quite well. They're on 10 points. Westmeath are on 10 points. They once more got the job done against Antrim at 13 points to 9 win. Offaly buried 5 goals by Wicklow on Sunday.
Wicklow are struggling.
Yeah, Wicklow are in a tight spot.
Yeah. I saw a couple of scores from the Offaly lads. They look very lively up front.
The step over.
Tasty, don't they?
Beautiful. Yeah, bit of class.
That's just a bit of... They have something. There's something coming there.
Offaly have been going all right. Like, they probably hadn't been getting results versus Wicklow on the other side. Like, it's been a tough campaign for them.
Yeah, no, it has. Like, Offaly, like, Jack Bryan scored 1-3. David Hyland scored 6 points. He got a yellow card, a black card, and a red card.
Tommy Rooney performance.
Nice. No, two blacks is mine. But Cormac Egan, who obviously shot the stardom when Offaly won the 20s All-Ireland a couple of years ago as a corner forward, he's been, and he's struggled to kind of make a real impact at senior level with injuries and a couple other things. He's been pushed to wing back. So apparently he had an exceptional performance there, got really stuck in. So that'll be interesting to see how he gets on there. But we've obviously seen that with a couple of players, Conor McCarthy, the best example, in the last couple of years moving to wing back, but we've seen plenty of that, so it'd be interesting to see how Cormac Egan gets on there. So Division 3, you've got Wicklow and Limerick rooted to the bottom of the table on 0 points. That's how that one's looking, and you've got Westmeath and Down at the top. Clare held off Limerick at the weekend, so Limerick still yet to win a game as well. Congratulations to Waterford and Paul Shankey, former Meath footballer, their manager. They got their first point of the campaign. Yeah, a 113 to 16 points draw to Tipperary. Leash continued their 100% record. They hammered Dundon 212 to 9 points. Wexford back Carlow, denting their promotion hopes. And Leitrim, their early momentum has hit a wall. Longford are right in the mix now, the Auburn Cup champions, back-to-back Auburn Cup champions. They won 116 to 13 points at the weekend. So you've got Leash, Leitrim, Wexford, Longford, Carlow. So Leash on 10 points.
Excited to see who goes up. Leash will go up, but it's obviously who's the next one to join them up to Division 3. Yeah. But Leitrim's momentum hit the skids the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you've got four teams locked on 6 points there. So the big game in Port Leash, I would imagine, is going to be Leash against Leitrim. So if Leitrim can turn that around, and then in Division 3, you've got Westmeath against Down. So that's going to be a big one as well. Lads, we have a busy week this week. We'll have a members pod coming a little later in the week. We'll also have an exclusive worldwide global excuse for worldwide landing next Monday.
Any hint or anything? So,
I don't think we'll give any hint. I think we'll hold that one in the back pocket. I have a bit of work to do in the edit. Make sure it's all okay. We'll get that out there. But no, it's exciting. I'm looking forward to that one.
Record on it.
Yeah, we did. We did. Yeah. Thank God. But good weekend put down, Paddy. Final word on our golf game. Any improvements at all?
There are improvements. Jimmy used to launch some drives down there the odd time, yeah. You're like Tyrone on the golf course. Like some manic
highs. There's one in somewhere.
Yeah. Just get that consistency. Tommy, I know you've been practicing. You can see that. You can see that around the greens. No, it was a good day out. Beautiful afternoon in Killarney, as always. But we'll do it again. We'll do it again before the summer's out.
Yeah, I think so. And Joanne Taff got in touch and said, played clean course last year. That was with Golf Weekly. Amazing. Yeah. We need a football pod golf classic for listeners before a podcast recording sometime. Oh, maybe that's something we look at a little later down the line as well. Paddy Andrews?
The suggestions. Yeah.
James O'Donoghue, a good week.
I'm here, isn't it?
A good weekend. Enjoyable.
After
mind yourselves for the rest of the week. I'd say we don't need a weekend like that for a long time. We're all chuck.
No. Too old for that shit.
Yeah. I'm not right, to be honest with you.
Nah. You'll take another few
days. Okay.
Good night, boys. I'll see you next week. I'm off on holidays. Bye-bye.
Oh, yes. Enjoy it, buddy.
Have a great time.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
See you, lads.